Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, pleased to welcome you on a dark and rainy day to a sunny topic. Today, we are going to discuss festivals in Central Ohio and environs. What do you want to do on a nice day, and there will be more of them, of a summer weekend, without going too far from home? And we have several people who are going to give us good advice and direction. My guest right now in the studio is Tamara Brown, who is Public Relations Manager for Tourism Ohio. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Nice to have you here. Tourism Ohio, as I understand it, you have an office in Columbus.
That's correct.
And you sell the state.
We do. That's our agenda, is we are the destination marketing organization for the state of Ohio.
So that if I live in Ohio, I might not know you that well, because I'm already here. I'm the choir. Is that possible?
To some extent, although we really appreciate the population that we have in Ohio, and Ohioans do travel. Ohioans in Columbus travel to Cleveland, Columbus, Toledo, Akron, Canton. So we want to get the word out in Ohio as well.
And you have just handed me the newest edition of Ohio, Venture in Ohio, which is very attractive. It's really everything you need to know about travel in the state, what to do, where to do it, how much things may cost. And you can get this from?
You can get that from discoverohio.com or from 1-800-BUCKEYE.
And really, it's a very attractive magazine, and I'm just thumbing through it, but you can almost point somewhere and have someplace fun to go this weekend or next or through the fall, whatever.
Right. Yeah. That is our fall-winter calendar of events, so festivals, events, anything going on in Ohio. There are more than 700 listings in that publication, and you can also view it online.
So we shouldn't limit our discussion that much to summer, although summer is a popular time to get out and about. There's stuff to do 12 months a year.
Absolutely. And we are so fortunate in Ohio to have four distinct seasons. And the fall season has really become a great time for people to get out and travel. Once the kids are back in school, we've got those empty nesters that are out and about. You'll see them in Amish country. You'll see them traveling around when it's a little less crowded because the families have the kids in school. And then when the kids are out of school on the weekends, everybody's out and about.
We're also going to have people with us discussing the Columbus Food Truck Festival, the Jam Festival in Delaware coming up tomorrow. We have the community director for the Village of Obetz. So we're really getting around as we talk this morning about festivals in Ohio. What's a festival to you? When we say festivals, what are we talking about?
Right. Well, I think of kind of three different areas that I look at Ohio as having festivals. We have great food and produce festivals, right? We've got radish festivals, the pawpaw festival, but we've got great food festivals like the ice cream festival and Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival, all that type of thing. And then we've got another area that I think is ethnic festivals, like the Greek festival and the Latino festival.
Is that this weekend, Latino festival?
You are absolutely right. Festival Latino is coming up this weekend, and they are very excited about that. You know, it's usually held in Genoa Park, right here in Columbus on Washington Street, and they're expanding this year. It's become so popular that they're going to stretch across Rich Street, across the bridge into Bicentennial Park. And that is fabulous music and wonderful food, all kinds of Latino foods, Puerto Rican, Bolivian, Colombian, Venezuelan, and just that wonderful music and art scene.
Great energy from Latin America there. That's terrific.
Yes.
And I know CAPA has taken over the administration of that.
Right.
There was some difficulty in years gone by. Apparently, also, there was a hefty admission tab that I don't think is there anymore.
I believe you are correct.
So, If it is there, you tell them Christopher said you can get in for free and you walk in to the Latin Festival, Festival Latino, which is this weekend here in Columbus. So
yes.
We're going to pray for sunny, warm, beautiful days.
That's right. It's supposed to be coming.
That's right. Most of our festivals, I've been looking through them, do say rain or shine, we are there. We are out and about. So bring your umbrella and a raincoat and have some fun anyway. How long have you considered this to be a good destination for this kind of a festival of experience?
I think always. You look at some of these festivals that are happening, they're happening because they're heritage type events. We see a lot of our events are like 38th All Ohio Balloon Festival in Marysville, 45th Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival out in Reynoldsburg, 50 years, 100 years for some of the pumpkin festivals and shows. So it really...
Pumpkins are fun. That's a fun one.
Isn't that?
I enjoy that. Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah. So I think they come about from the communities, and they're very grassroots, And they're just wonderful opportunities for people to get out and mix and mingle and have some family time.
I'm talking with Tamara Brown, who is the public relations manager for Tourism Ohio. And she and I both want to know where you are going to have some fun of a summer weekend, as long as you can say it on the radio. 292-8513 is our number. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We're going to give you some more ideas with our guests and with Tamara, and we'd also like to get some ideas from you, because nobody can be everywhere, so you're probably places we haven't been. Again, 292-8513. Give us a call and let us know what's going on. The Latino Festival is a great deal of fun. The Greek Festival, I think, is Labor Day weekend. Is that generally?
That's correct.
Historically, it's been Labor Day weekend at the Greek church just on High Street, just
right
before you get to downtown.
Correct. Yeah. And what a great place. If you like baklava, if you like Greek music, and they're going to do tours of that beautiful, beautiful
cathedral,
too, which
yeah.
I think is the highlight of that whole thing. Just a gorgeous time down there.
The time that I've been there, I'm third and fourth in line for the souvlaki, but I'm also loving the music. They do have apparently a stage there with lots of wonderful Greek music, different kinds of Greek music. And if you want to dance, dance till the cows come home at this festival, because it's very exciting.
That's right. And they encourage that. They've got people who know what they're doing in the Greek dancing, but they're willing to teach you, too. So if you're willing to get up there and give it a go, you can do that.
Now, we have a lot of festivals here in Columbus that are world famous. And we have our doodah parades, and we have the Jazz and Rib Fest and all kinds of things that really have really anchored in the community for a number of years. So there's something about the community that likes this, that supports this.
Absolutely. You know, here in Columbus and in other communities as well, one of the fun festivals I like to talk about happens back in June. It's over Father's Day weekend. It's the Duct Tape Festival up in Avon, Ohio, in Northeast Ohio.
Wait a minute.
Chris, you don't know about the Duct Tape Festival?
Ahead.
Come on.
Talk to me.
Come on. You know, a number of years ago, they were looking for in their community an opportunity to celebrate and look at what heritage they have. And they have this wonderful company there that produces duct tape. Now, this is D-U-C-K, duct tape.
Like from the hardware store.
But yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But, and they produce, have you seen all the different colors and designs and all this sort of thing? So what grew out of that was a fabulous festival that they have duct tape floats. And they have duct tape apparel.
It.
They make dresses, prom dresses, Chris, out of this duct tape now. They just have a fabulous time up there. And it's over Father's Day weekend. Isn't that perfect? Father's Day duct tape festival.
So you can wrap your dad in duct tape and, you know, throw him in the river or something and see if he can swim. I mean, that's fun. I mean, you have to wonder when you talk about this, who thinks this stuff up? Because it's so crazy but so much fun that some people, I guess, are working overtime to come up with this great stuff.
Well,
I mean,
that just shows the roots and the heritage, though. You know, another good one is the Washboard Festival down in Logan, Ohio, down in the Hocking Hills region. Are you familiar with
this? A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
I know the area, but I don't know the festival. Yeah.
So it's a washboard music festival, but it came about because they have the last manufacturers down there of real metal washboards. And it's a great story. They actually ship thousands of these washboards overseas every year for our soldiers to use.
Really?
Literally, out in the field. But then, of course, it makes great music. They string laundry up across the streets, and they have a fabulous festival.
There's also a great blues festival in Granville, which I didn't know about. And a friend of mine, Scott Gowans, is involved with that. And he had me go down there 2 summers ago, and I had a blast. First of all, it's a gorgeous setting. But it's the middle of the main drag in Granville with all these beautiful homes around you. They put up a stage, and everybody you can think of plays the blues, and it's incredible. Jazz and blues festival down
there.
Yeah,
who doesn't like to go out and just sit and enjoy that sort of thing?
And it goes on from about, you know, the crack of dawn till midnight, and bring a chair, or there's chairs there, and you can wander, you can sit, you can do whatever you want. And I think that's the best way to do it. There's no rigid schedule that you have to stick to there. We are talking about festivals and fun here in Central Ohio. Let us know what you're doing. I know it's a gloomy, rotten day outside, so you may not be inspired to think about going out for the weekend, but I'm convinced it's going to be sunny and warm eventually. 292-8513. Let us know what you're up to. Let us know what festivals you enjoy or what you would like to see or ask questions. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We are going to be joined later by Aaron Dupree, who comes to us from the Ohio Festivals and Events Association. And later in the broadcast, we'll talk about the Columbus Food Truck Festival, which I think is going to be great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And from the Mid-Ohio Fiber Fair. Now, that's a little dicey. I wasn't quite sure what they meant, but they mean it's for weavers. It's all kinds of, you know, wool and fibers, and, you know, it's a perfect place to go if you're interested in that craft. So that would be something really that a lot of people, more people than you might imagine, are interested in these specific things that are a little bit off the grid, don't you find?
I absolutely think so. I think as you drive around Ohio, drive around some of those country roads, you're seeing more of these types of animals popping up. You know, the llamas, the goats, the, you know, people kind of wanting to get back in touch with where their food comes from, how their fabrics are produced. And all that type of thing.
And they want to think local. They want to think and buy local. Right.
Exactly. And this really speaks to that.
Especially certainly with food, locally grown produce and, you know, locally grown clothing as well is terrific.
Absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is it difficult to set up a festival in terms of permits and money and all licensing and things like that?
I would say it depends on the community. And, you know, we talked about so many of these are community-based. There are a lot of volunteers involved, a lot of people that this is just their heart and soul, and they sweat for these festivals because they know how many people it will bring to their communities, and they're looking for that economic impact to bring into their communities.
That's a very good point. I mean, these things do exist to have a good time, but let's face it, you know, we want to fill the coffers and make it possible for other festivals to go on. And there's one, I think, that's also this weekend in Delaware, which I want to talk about later, that is called the Jeff's Jam Festival. And Jeff Meyer is a gentleman who has since passed away, who was very active in music up in Delaware. And they now have this festival every summer in his memory, and they raise money for scholarships, which I think is terrific. And it's all about music, and Delaware is a beautiful place, and it's this weekend. And we'll talk about that more later in this broadcast. We're going to take a break right now and come back to take your phone calls, 292-8513. Remember, you can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Tamara Brown and I will be back in just a moment. Thank you. Rachel Quimby, our producer, you had to tell people it's a rainy, miserable day outside as we talk about summer festivals. We have an email from James who says, I'm a big fan of craft beer festivals, especially in Columbus. I'm looking forward to Oktoberfest, which we have to talk about, and the Pumpkin Festival. And Paige lets us know that there's an Ethiopian New Year Festival September 14th from 9 to 4. It's at Whitehall Community Park. Great food and music and great coffee. I'm going to like that one. Thank you both for your tips there. We have on the phone with us Joanne Meyer, who represents Jeff's Jam, which is an annual festival of music up in Delaware. Joanne, are you there?
I am.
Good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
We're here with Tamara Brown as well from the Tourism Ohio. I beg your pardon, but you are Joanne, really at the front lines of running a specific festival. Will you tell us about Jeff's Jam?
Sure. Jeff's Jam started about 13 years ago as a small little tribute to my husband, who had passed away after a long illness. And some of the local musicians wanted to kind of say thanks because he had done a lot of work and I guess sponsorship of the local musical community. And over the years, it's grown into a street festival where we closed down a couple blocks in downtown Delaware and drop a 30-foot stage across the street and have a whole day of music and fun.
That's tomorrow, right?
It is tomorrow.
So we're going to
rain's going to stop.
That's right. We're going to have a sunny, beautiful day, although I do note from your website, rain or shine, we are on there.
It is rain or shine, and we have had a history of it raining, I think, every time. But I have some awesome volunteers who, you know, they play anyway, and we keep everything going and running, and it's been great. So to have one day without rain would be awesome.
Tell me a little bit about the music.
The music usually surrounds about a couple things. We have what we call the Hall of Fame Jam, and one of the things we started is we induct members into the Delaware Musician Hall of Fame, something we all created, to honor local musicians for what they've done to contribute to the music community. And we have 24 members now, and we do a couple hours where all the Hall of Fame members just come up, and it literally is just a jam session, and you never quite know who all is going to be there. And it's a great fun part because they are just truly enjoying themselves playing and jamming together.
That sounds fantastic. Tell me again tomorrow when people should show up and where.
It is on South Sandusky Street.
Delaware.
In Delaware, downtown Delaware. There is parking. Ohio Wesleyan has graciously given us all their parking, so you can follow the signs to parking right down the street from there. It's from 4 until midnight.
Oh, great. Okay. And it will not rain.
And it will not rain. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Joanne, I thank you so much for your time. I look forward to the festival tomorrow, as I'm sure everybody does. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Sure, bye-bye. Aaron Dupre is here from the Ohio Festivals and Events Association, and he is wearing an Indianapolis T-shirt. We won't go there because apparently his Ohio Festival T-shirt is in the laundry, but I'm delighted to have you here, Aaron. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And,
it's an Irish shirt, so I have to love that because, yeah, it's terrific. Tell me a bit about your Festival and Events Association.
Well, what we do is we're a statewide association that represents festivals all over the state of Ohio. Currently, we have about 71 festivals and events around Ohio that we represent, which is a decent percentage, although there's hundreds and hundreds of festivals with new ones popping up every year. And we would obviously be glad to take them on and help them and assist them and make them a part of our organization. But for the 71 that we currently have, we help with representation. We try to get the names out there. We do advertising. We do brochures that we put out, a website. And then it's also kind of a big co-op because the board of directors and the members are all festival members from those festivals around. And we assist in problems with festivals. If you have questions, if you're trying to figure out how to maybe make the festival better, it becomes just kind of a big sounding board.
Well, I was asking earlier, I mean, if there are so many festivals of so many different kinds of topics, if you will, if you sat in your living room and you wanted to do this and you had no clue how to start a festival, would I call you?
Absolutely. We would definitely be an agency that they could call to get a step up. And that's a lot of what we do. We have a process. If a festival wants to come on, that we go through and we do an evaluation with the festival. And we look at kind of what they're doing, how long they've been doing it. And we give them feedback and we say, you know, you're really on the right track, but this would help, this would help. And these things would definitely better your festival.
Better ask the experts before you, yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. And what we try to do, though, is we don't take on every festival the first time they put in because we also try to keep up a reputation. We want to show that we have, you know, the highest quality festivals and we're trying to put the best product out there for the people coming to the festivals. So usually what we do is we do a process where we go in, we evaluate the festival, we recommend or we don't recommend for membership. And then after that, we kind of say, hey, why don't you look at these things? And they go on probation for a year. So the next year we go in, we see how the festival's doing. If they're on track, they're doing the right thing.
Do you give them money?
They become a membership.
Do you give them money?
No, we do not give money. I wish we could. It would be a great thing.
But everybody's going to ask you, so I figured I'd get it out there.
Absolutely. What we give is support. Right. For the most part. And like I said, it becomes a big sounding board where by becoming a member, you've got the support of 71, I think we're at 71 festivals and events right now. So you've got the support of 71 other festivals that are there for you. The neat part about the festival world is it's not a competition.
Yeah.
This weekend, there's 4 or 5 festivals going on, but it's not a competition. Everybody works together. If you ask somebody about other festivals, they will give you you know, they will give you lots of recommendations, where to go, what you can find, what's out there, because we're all in it together.
And I'm sure there are people who go to more than one of a weekend anyway.
I mean, oh, absolutely. So and one of the neat things that we kind of do as a group, too, is we have a Queens contest at many festivals. And we actually do some support with that with the OFEA, and you end up with lots of traveling queens.
Terrific.
So there's queens from festivals that go from festival to festival. They'll hit 30 festivals a year in traveling.
We want to take some calls right now because people have been waiting patiently. Janice from Columbus is here with a story about the Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival. Hello, Janice.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, my first husband, many years ago, was the first chairman of the Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival. And they got a bill passed to the legislature recognizing Reynoldsburg and Livingston as the developer of the commercial tomato. And they made the first festival on the 4th of July weekend. Only nobody stopped to think that nobody's tomatoes were ripe yet.
Good point.
So they changed it, and subsequent festivals were held later in the summer.
That's great to know, Janice, and that's always a very popular festival that your husband began. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that. Our number is 292-8513. You can send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook, WOSU All Sides. Today we are talking about festivals in the state of Ohio with Aaron Dupree, who is a board member of the Ohio Festivals and Events Association, and Tamara Brown, who is the public relations manager for Tourism Ohio. And we have a call from David, and it says David's in San Francisco. David, are you in San Francisco?
I sure am.
Well, that's great.
Got a nice little foggy day out here.
You must be up early. Well, good. Thank you for calling us.
Well, no problem. And as a matter of fact, I took theater management when I was in college. And so when I got out here to San Francisco, I kind of jumped in with both feet into a number of good-sized festivals. It's been a great opportunity. I was going to mention, though, out here in San Francisco, I heard your previous guest talking about, you know, it's not really a big competitive thing. In a way, it can be out here, because we can have as many as two or three festivals a weekend. And so,
in a small, concentrated area, really, right?
Well, for example, the Fillmore District has one that may be more jazz-oriented, and, you know, you can have, most people out there might hear about Castro, you know, or the Haight-Ashbury Street Festival or whatnot, but there are a whole lot of different ones that have their own character to them. Each neighborhood has its own character, and, you know, Chinatown or Japantown or, you know, there are Mesa Russians out toward the ocean, and, you know, so there is a certain amount of competition. But what I was going to ask about was I've been getting emails from some of the producers saying that Homeland Security is now trying to intrude in the planning of everybody's festival, even though it may be just a little block off a street, you know, for a weekend, that Homeland Security is trying to get a little more intrusive. And I'm wondering if some of your other producers are noticing this.
David, let me take you off the air and let you listen to the conversation, because that's a splendid question. Have a great day out in the Bay Area.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Aaron, what about that? I mean, yeah, because people in crowds together is a different game than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you even look at just something like the Boston bombings, where it's, you know, a community event where there were a lot of people built up around the finish line, and they used that. So we haven't had a lot of intrusion from government agencies or anybody really making us do anything or changing. But I think everybody has kind of had to look at the aspect of making changes to their festival and looking more a little bit at security and the way we lay things out. It hasn't been in the past where you really think too much. I mean, you have security there. You have your local police departments, your local sheriff's offices that come in and kind of check things out. But I think, especially in some of the bigger festivals, they really have to think about that a little bit more. You look at the Circleville Pumpkin Show, which is a member festival of OFEA, and they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people walk through that festival in the time that they're open, the Jackson Apple Festival.
Well, look at the fair. The fair as well. That's
absolutely
huge.
So I haven't heard and I haven't seen really too much government interruption, but it's definitely something where we've all had to start looking at and evaluating because of the large crowds that are coming together. You know, any kind of a large target with lots of people and a big name is obviously something that we have to have some concern and reevaluate the way we set up our festivals and the way we run things. So.
Thank you for that. We have a call from Nancy in Lockbourne. Hi, Nancy.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to let you know there is a an annual festival. It's called Soberfest. It celebrates 12-step, you know, group members from like AA or Narcotics Anonymous or whatever, and they meet at the John Bryant Park in Whitehall. This year it's going to be on Sunday, September 1st. It's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. There's four sober speakers lined up to tell their stories. At different times, there's a contact number and a Facebook page for it if anybody's interested in looking for it.
Would they just look for Soberfest?
Soberfest,
okay,
yes.
Great.
And there is actually an entrance fee for this. It's $15 to get in, although, we'll probably cover the band. There's going to be live music. There's going to be food. They do it every year, and it's a really, for anybody who wants to experience sobriety and fun at the same time, it's a great place to go. It's just a niche.
That's wonderful to know, Nancy. Thank you. That's September 1st in Whitehall?
Yes, at John Bryant Park. It's 10 to 8 p.m.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. We were talking earlier, Tamara, you never know what could be a wonderful idea for a festival, and that certainly sounds like one. We have an email from Mrs. Rockabilly Raven, and here's a festival that Aaron and I should go to. It's about Hot Rod Hula Hoops. I wanted to let you know about the Hot Rod Hula Hop happening this weekend. It starts today with lots of music at the Grass Skirt in Columbus, and then moving over to Sequoia Lanes for a hot rod car show, vintage vendors, and even more music. It ends on Sunday with more music and food, the Hot Rod Hula Hop. Do you know about that, Emily?
I do not. Well, that's a new one I've never heard of.
Put that on your hit list. That sounds incredible.
That's awesome.
I love that one. We have a call from David and Bexley, and then Mary Jane Johnson from the Mid-Ohio Fiber Fair will be on to talk with us about her upcoming festival. But David has a good question. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wondered if there was a site that lists all the festivals in Ohio.
One-stop shopping.
Right.
Thanks. Let's find out.
Yeah, absolutely. I would direct anyone to discoverohio.com. And we were talking about our calendar of events. We have all of those on that website, as well as others that maybe didn't get their information in time for either the printed piece or the page turn piece that you see online. But discoverohio.com. Or if you're out on the road and you have a question or something, call 1-800-BUCKEYE, and the trained travel counselors can help you out.
Terrific. Thank you for that. Mary Jane Anderson is here. Hello, Mary Jane.
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Mid-Ohio Fiber Fair.
Yes.
Tell us what that is.
Well, it's sort of like a mini convention for people who enjoy working with yarns and fibers, and also for people who like buying beautiful finished items that our artisans have created.
When and where, and what's the history of it?
Okay, it's being held at the Reese Center. The address is 1209 University Drive in Newark, which is the Central Ohio Technical College, OSU, Newark campus. It's our third year. It's held Saturday from 9 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 3.
This weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Next weekend, actually.
Okay, a week from now.
From this coming weekend, yes. And it's our third year. We started it in 2011. It sort of grew out of the fact that we have an alpaca farm, Land of Legends Alpacas. And for those of you who don't know, alpacas make a beautiful, warm, soft fiber that is used to make yarn, and you can make clothing and all sorts of things out of it. And we were vendors at several of these events around the state and around the country, and I thought it would be fun to have one in Licking County. And as you know, in 2011, the economy wasn't real good. And I thought, you know, not only would it be good for the people who attend, it would be good for the vendors, and it would also draw people into the county to spend a little money in the county.
That's always good, or spend a little more money in the county. That's terrific. So you would go to your festival if you want to, if you either someone who works with fibers or you just want to wear something beautiful.
Right, correct. Knitters, crocheters, weavers, spinners, felters, or if you know, you just want to buy something that is beautiful to wear or to have in your house.
What kind of thing? Sweaters, blankets, what kind of
yes,
items?
Oh. Anything that you can think of that you can wear, you know, that's something that would be made out of these fibers.
That's terrific. Now, tell me, let's just remind everybody before you go, when and where.
It's Saturday, August 17th from 9 to 5, and Sunday the 18th from 10 to 3 at the Reese Center on the COTC OSU Newark campus.
Is there a website people can go to for information?
Yes, it's midohiofiberfair.com. No fancy spelling.
Very good. Mary Jane, thank you so much. It sounds wonderful.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Chris.
Bye-bye. Thank you. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, and today we are talking about festivals in Ohio. We're not talking about summer festivals exclusively because there's a lot more going on, nor are we necessarily just talking about Central Ohio. Not that we don't love Central Ohio, but it's a big state. My guests in the studio are Aaron Dupree, who is a board member of the Ohio Festivals and Events Association, and Tamara Brown, who is the public relations manager for Tourism Ohio. We have people on the phone. I'd love to have some more phone calls, 292-8513, but we need to take a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Don't go away. Thank you, our producer, Rachel Quimby. I want to make the point that all of the festivals we're talking about are on our website, WOSU.org. So that's one-stop shopping, too. Just go to our website, WOSU.org. I wanted to ask Tamara if we can throw in a couple of festivals and just see if the two of you know about the same thing. You may know something different, or you may be, we all may be learning here.
Sure. Well, we mentioned a little bit the All-Ohio Balloon Festival coming up in Marysville. I wanted to mention that. It's August 15th through the 18th, and this is 30-plus hot air balloons that they're going to have out there, and they're going to do the balloon glow, and they're going to have the balloon lift off, which I think is always beautiful. And then they also have an opportunity to take a ride in a restored World War II plane. They've got a helicopter. They've got skydiving. And, of course, they've got plenty of local vendors and fun things for kids to do, games and all that sort of thing.
You know about that one?
I do. I am familiar. They're not a member festival, but it is great. It's a great festival, great show to go to. There's several balloon festivals around the state, and they're all just an amazing thing to see.
Do you have one or two you really want to recommend to us?
Yeah, I have
Aaron?
A couple coming up this weekend
great.
That we could kind of throw out there. The Baltimore Festival, which is fairly close, right over in Baltimore. It's just, it's a nice little festival because it's a community festival. And the neat part about the festival community, I guess, is we don't get too difficult with what we name our festivals. You can pretty much tell what's going on by our names, which I think helps sell the product. But the Baltimore Festival is exactly that. It's a festival that celebrates Baltimore.
Ohio.
Yeah, Baltimore, Ohio. I'm sorry. But it does. It just celebrates the community, and it brings everybody together, and they celebrate being a part of that community. And it's a really nice family-oriented event. They have food, entertainment.
I bet the food is great.
Yes.
I bet the food is out of this world. Yeah, most of these festivals.
Absolutely.
If you're on a diet, forget it. It's not a good time for diets. We have a call from Brian in Pennsylvania who has a list for us. Hi, Brian.
Hello. There's a website. It's www.northshoretourism.com. It lists all the festivals and historical sites on all the states that border the Great Lakes.
Oh, okay. That would be us. All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Brian. We appreciate that. We have on the phone now Mike Alico, who runs the Food Truck Festival, and I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Hi there, Mike.
How you doing? My name is Mike Galicchio.
Galicchio, I beg your pardon. Galicchio.
Nice. No worries.
All right. Nice to talk. Tell me about the Food Truck Festival.
This is our third year. It's huge. It's food truck event in downtown Columbus. I would venture to say it's the largest one in the Midwest. We have over 40 food trucks this year. We have 2 days instead of one. It's next weekend, Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th. It's a big, large event in downtown Columbus. And, we host a lot of most of the local food trucks in the Central Ohio area.
So where in downtown Columbus? Where are we going?
The Columbus Commons.
Okay. And that is next weekend. It's an all-day event?
It is. It's noon to 10 p.m. both days. We have live music both days. We have a big kids kind of thing going on Saturday afternoons. It's very family-oriented, food-oriented event.
Come hungry, right?
Come hungry. We have the best food trucks in Ohio there, and there's a wide variety and selection. I mean, the demand was so big the last 2 years. The first year we did it, we did it just on Friday night. Last year we did it all day Friday. Still humongous lines, so this year we had to go to 2 days.
If you see a fat guy with a white beard, that will be me, okay? I wouldn't miss it. That sounds terrific next weekend. I thank you, Mike, very much for that. The Ohio Food Truck Festival, which is at Columbus Commons next weekend. Mike told us over 40 food trucks. Who would have thunk? Really? I mean, that's really terrific. Have you been to that festival?
I have not. I haven't been to that one. The food trucks are usually fantastic.
Well, I'll see you there.
Any place I've had them at. I may be there, absolutely.
Dolores is on the phone talking about sweet corn. Hi, Dolores. Well, we've got a little problem with your phone, dear.
You okay now?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I love the Sweet Corn Festival being held the last week of August into the first days of September. The last Wednesday in August, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The parade is Wednesday, and it's a wonderful festival. Everybody needs to go.
Where is it?
In Millers Point, Ohio, down near Buckeye Lake.
Okay, we thank you for that, because Tamara Haggis has some more information for us about that. The Sweet Corn Festival?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The dates on that are August 28th through 31st. And what better way to get out and enjoy some wonderful corn on the cob, dip it in that butter. It's fantastic. And they're going to have all kinds of square dancing. They're going to have outhouse races. They're going to have tractor
pulls. I beg your pardon.
Yes, you heard me. Outhouse races.
Okay. Well, let's leave that alone.
It's the quirkiness to some of these things that, it brings people out.
That sure does.
It gives you a good laugh. It's a great time out there. And a grand parade. They have a 5K run. So, yeah,
and review again where it is?
That's Millersport.
Millersport.
Which is east of Columbus. Head out towards Buckeye Lake, as our caller said, and you will get there.
It's pretty out there, too. And the sweet
gorgeous.
Corn would be lovely. That's very nice
Absolutely.
As well. And remember, go to WOSU.org. Go to our website, and we have the festivals listed there for you. And, Aaron, I wanted to ask you as well, do you have some do-not-miss festivals?
Obviously, there's a couple of the big ones throughout the state.
Right.
The Pumpkin Show, which I think it seems like everybody in Ohio has been to. If not, you probably ought to go out and see it. It's just an amazing sight for a festival. The Jackson Apple Festival is a really big, nice festival, always quality entertainment, lots to do, lots of food booths. Marion Popcorn, which is fairly close here in Central Ohio.
Well, tell me about that.
It's a festival celebrating popcorn. It's one of those other ones. It's one of those very intricate names that we spend lots of time thinking of. But it's on the downtown streets of Marion. They get together. There's lots of events that feature popcorn and different corn recipes, entertainment, food booths. It's a really great festival.
The Gay Pride Festival has also grown a great deal, too, and that's become a real economic engine, I think. That's in June, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Correct.
Tell me about that one.
Yeah. Every year, we're seeing thousands of people coming to downtown Columbus for that and all the festivities. In fact, they separated it from, there used to be another festival during that weekend, and they kind of separated those two out so that they could have two separate weekends of festivals going on downtown.
Is it harder to do a festival in an urban area?
I think it not necessarily, because it seems like even in some of the urban areas, you still have community support. You have people that need something to
do. In terms of a space, though.
Space-wise is what makes it difficult. Yeah. But usually most of the communities are pretty good on working with being able to shut down some streets and to do things to be able to arrange the festivals to make them work.
And there's an Italian festival, too, in Italian Village, isn't there?
There's several Italian
festivals,
actually. There's the Tuscarora's Italian-American Festival. and there's one or two others, I apologize, off the top of my head that aren't coming straight to me. But yeah, throughout Ohio, there's several different Italian-American festivals that are great festivals.
Tell me about the Wellston Coal Festival.
The Wellston Coal Festival is, that's my representative festival that I come from. It's about an hour and a half south of Columbus. We're just a small festival that kind of celebrates the community. And we tend to get the question a lot that we come to the coal festival and there's not a whole lot of coal there. And a lot of it is more because it's a celebration of the history of coal and what it brought to the community. The coal industry has suffered so much throughout Ohio especially that, right now we basically have two really working coal groups in our area. And it's got tough for them to support. And they've had layoffs, they've had cuts. So it's really tough to bring a lot of coal to the festival. We used to have, a coal mine tour and some other things, but with changes at the coal mines as well as the cost to put on the tours, it's getting more and more difficult. So we've kind of turned to, it's become a celebration of the history and the heritage of coal.
Sounds to me like that would be a great place to take kids. That would be fun for kids.
Yeah. And that's the nice part about all the festivals that we represent is they are all really family oriented. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have some of the festivals that'll have beer gardens and things
I'll
such
bring
as
my
that.
My kids to that.
Exactly. They're still very family oriented. Yeah. They're well put out. They're organized for children for the most part.
Right.
I mean, pretty much every festival has rides or some kind of entertainment for the children.
Well, for example, at the Coal Festival, what kind of activities would you be looking at?
Well, we start off the week. We have what we call the Coal Miner Olympics, which is just basically local organizations that get together and they do stupid games. And they have a competition at the end of the games. They get a prize, and we usually have a pretty good turnout from the community, from different cancer support groups, and our queens are always involved, which is always fun to see the queens mm-hmm. doing goofy games.
You mean ladies decked out, right?
Absolutely.
With a crown and a scepter, and yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're not usually decked out during this because of some of the events, but it's just a fun little event. And then through the week, we have different music and entertainment, even things as simple as a pet show, dog show. And then we go into every night we have some type of entertainment on the stage. This year we actually have Tyler Farr, who's a country music singer that's kind of taken off. So just lots of little fun activities.
It does sound
as
like
well
fun.
As rides.
Yeah. And kids can get dirty, which they love. So that's even better. Diane from Lithopolis is here with a story about the Honey Fest. Hello, Diane. Diane?
Hello.
Go ahead.
We've had the Honey Fest for the last few years on a Saturday, and this year we're having it Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th.
And where is that?
It's in Lithopolis, Ohio, downtown Lithopolis, Ohio.
And is it about honey? Is it about bees? Is it about what's going on?
There's a lot of crafters. We have, obviously, the bee beard on the bee operators. There's obviously a lot of honey. We have entertainment and food, very good food. And it's downtown on the main street.
Terrific, Diane. Thank you so much for letting us know about that. That's
okay,
great.
Thank you.
Who doesn't love honey? So that's just wonderful. We have on the phone now Stacy Boomis, who is in charge of the Zucchini Festival. Hello, Stacy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Tell us about the Zucchini Festival.
Okay, well, this is the 28th year for the Obed's Zucchini Fest. When it originally started, it was a Labor Day festival. And as everybody knows, a lot of communities have these different Labor Day festivals. The community was looking for a way to create something unique. And they looked at, obviously, the agricultural heritage of the region, and they noted that zucchinis were widely grown not only in our area but Ohio. There was not a zucchini fest presently in the state, and so they thought it would be a great way to celebrate this fruit known as the zucchini. So this year is actually the fourth year we're having the zucchini fest in Memorial Park in the village of Obetz. And the zucchini fest is held, it's a four-day event, Thursday through Sunday, August 22nd through the 25th. So it's a great festival with a lot of food vendors. We have top-notch entertainment. In fact, this year on Saturday the 24th, we have national recording artist Brett Michaels. So we're really excited to have him coming to Central Ohio. And we also have a midway stage, and we have a lot of great local talent that is going to be on this midway stage throughout the 4 days. Everything is free at the Zucchini Fest as far as entertainment and parking and admission. So it's a great way to come out with your family and enjoy hopefully the beautiful weather that we're going to have during these the weekend before Labor Day.
That's terrific. Tell me again, just briefly, when and where. Make sure people understand where that is.
Okay. The Zucchini Fest is held in Memorial Park in the village of Obetz. And Obetz is located in the southern part of Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
So very close to where you guys
it's
are right now.
2 weeks from now, right?
Yes, in just a few weeks.
Okay.
It is August 22nd through the 25th. And we have a website, www.obetzzucchinifest.com, where the public can come and get a detailed schedule. So we have 23 different food vendors. They are going to have a lot of zucchini products, including zucchini ice cream, which is going to be fun, zucchini funnel cakes, obviously the deep-fried zucchini, lots of zucchini bread, zucchini parmesan.
Zucchini pizza.
So,
you know, it sounds great.
Anything zucchini you're going to find at the Obetz Zucchini Fest.
So 2 weeks from now, get down to Obetz. It sounds like a lot of fun, Stacey. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thank you. And we have Laura from Columbus on the phone about Ethiopian New Year. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead.
I'm in charge of the Ethiopian Enkutatash Festival, which is the Ethiopian New Year. It's a new American celebration. We invite all immigrants and refugees in the Franklin County area to come to Whitehall Community Park, and we have an all-day event. It's from 9 to 4 on September 14th, and there is a cultural lunch. There's cultural performers, vendors, a children's area, and most importantly, there's an Ethiopian coffee ceremony, which is spectacular, something you've never seen before.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's Ethiopian New Year, and it's September
14th.
And it's where? Tell me.
Whitehall Community Park.
Very
and
good.
It's from 9 to 4 p.m.
We thank you so much for letting
thank
us
you.
Do that. Thank you. We have about 4 minutes left, so there's time for a call or two or an email or two if you'd like to participate in the conversation. Aaron Dupree is here. He is board member of the Ohio Festivals and Events Association, and Tamara Brown, the PR manager for Tourism Ohio. You both have sort of created a wonderful monster here because we're getting a lot of calls about festivals, Aaron. This is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're out for. The Ohio Festival and Events Association, the OFEA, is about promoting tourism in Ohio, much like Tourism Ohio, and promoting the festivals that we represent and that are all member festivals. So being able to come out and be on your show, which we really appreciate, gives us a chance to kind of put the spotlight on some of those festivals and the association as a whole. So
let me ask you both as we finish up, what does a festival really have to be successful?
Well, I think... there's lots of little intricacies, obviously, that you kind of got to work on, and there's all the ins and outs of the legal issues. But I think as a festival for being popular in your community is, number one, offering a service to the community, giving them something to actually come out to. So entertainment, whether it be national music groups or even local groups, just to give somebody a chance to come out and actually do something and take part. Food is obviously a must. I think we're pretty much
It is for me, anyway. Yeah,
it's all about food anymore. So,
yeah, that's right.
So that quality fair, that quality festival food is always a very important part of it. And really just having a nice, clean event where people can come out and bring family. Absolutely. Just a nice, fun environment.
Spend a little money. And have,
yeah, it's amazing what people put together for festivals.
Sure.
I mean, the Avon Duct Tape Festival is a festival that's dedicated to duct tape.
Yeah, Tamara was telling us about that. And, you know, I bet it's very successful.
It's hugely successful.
This is a
it
big
is.
Country.
It's
fantastic. There's going to be a few thousand people in out of 200 million who want to do that, you know, and they'll bring their friends. So that does sound great as well. And I really enjoyed hearing about zucchini ice cream and zucchini funnel cake and things like that. You'd never think that even existed.
Oh, and you'd be amazed at some of the different festivals between the zucchini. Well, the pumpkin show, everything pumpkin. If you can imagine something being made out of pumpkin, they
That's
do
right.
it. Even into the tomato shows and the Milan Melon Festival. There's everything melon. I mean,
where's that? Tell
it's in
that.
Milan, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a festival that celebrates the melons in the area, between watermelons clear into any other type of melon you can imagine. And it gets into the same thing, much like the Zucchini Festival was. You can find anything melon there you can imagine. So.
Right.
It's just amazing the festivals that find their niche and they go with it.
And go back briefly and just let's review the pumpkin festival because my daughter when she was little loved that. So let's go back and just because that's a big deal.
Well, so you don't get negative calls from Circleville. It's the pumpkin show.
I beg your pardon.
They take that
stand corrected.
They take that very seriously down there, because there's actually a pumpkin festival in Barnesville, Ohio.
Okay,
over on the eastern
great
side
state
of the
for
state.
Pumpkins. Go
absolutely.
For it. Yeah.
So the pumpkin show is just an extremely large event in the downtown streets of Circleville, and it celebrates pumpkins. If you can imagine something being made out of pumpkin, be it food or even crafts, it's there. They have a pumpkin growing competition, which every year they see pumpkins that are like 1,200 to 1,500 pounds come in that are just the size of a car. It's an amazing, scene
that?
To see.
You know, you get a get a hacksaw or something and a bunch of big guys.
And then from food to the crafts that are there, and it's just pumpkins everywhere. It's an amazing event. And then between the rides and the food that they offer, it's a fantastic show.
Tamara Brown does great work with the Ohio Tourism Ohio, telling us all about what's going on. I do want to thank Joanne Meyer from Jeff's Jam, Mary Jane Anderson from Mid-Ohio Fiber Fair, and Mike Galicchio, I said that wrong and I beg your pardon, the owner of Galicchio from Columbus Food Truck Festival, and Stacy Boomis from the Village of Obetz. I do thank Aaron Dupre, the board member from the Ohio Festivals and Events Association, and everybody who's been listening and calling. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody, but this is a great state. People love their festivals here in Ohio, and thanks to you two good people and everybody out there participating. You can do anything from pumpkins to fiber to food trucks, and it's all good and more. You can go to Discover Ohio.
That's right, discoverohio.com. And for anybody with festivals listening out there, we will put a free listing on that website.
Fantastic.
So check out the website.
Okay, you can also go to WOSU.org. I'm Christopher Purdy. I do thank you all for listening. Thank you, Rachel Quimby. This is All Sides Weekend, and this is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.